You're listening to Maine Public's Political Pulse. I'm Ari Snyder, joined by Maine Public's chief political correspondent Steve Missler and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. So the legislature wrapped up this year's session on Wednesday night. Kevin, are they actually done, or is there still some work left to do?
Yeah, hey, Ari. So they're not quite done yet, although judging by how things ended, I suspect that most lawmakers wish they were done. Even though they passed an additional spending bill, there are hundreds and hundreds of bills that are sitting in the budget writing committee waiting to see if they get a share of a very, very small amount of leftover money. The vast majority of them, and I'm talking about almost all of those bills, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to get funding, and they're going to die as a result. But they still have to come back and make that decision. And then lawmakers will have to return to deal with any vetoes from Governor Janet Mills. So there's potentially two more brief gatherings.
So there still are a few more things to take care of. But Steve, can you give us a quick recap of the big issues that lawmakers tackled this session?
Sure. I mean, I think the most consequential issue lawmakers took on this year was the state budget, Ari. Unlike in recent years, legislators really had to grapple with declining revenues, the squeezing off of federal funds, and the prospect that all of those factors might worsen depending on what Congress does in the coming weeks and the trajectory of the national economy. And there's a lot of uncertainty about both of those factors. So Democrats passed both spending bills entirely on their own. There were no Republican votes. While they made some spending cuts to deal with these declining revenues, they basically cobbled together some taxes and used transfers from various accounts to plug the existing funding gap. The most notable of the taxes are an increase in the cigarette tax, and applying the state sales tax to streaming services like Netflix and Spotify. Republicans railed against both of these, arguing that there needed to be deeper spending cuts instead. Democrats also managed to continue funding local education costs at 55%. That's been a big priority of the governor. And they've made some investments in childcare and, you know, continued to fund nursing homes, although a lot of that money is federal cash. There's also some new funding for affordable housing in the budget, but it's really too soon to tell how impactful that will be on the housing situation across the state.
So that's what they did accomplish. Kevin, were there any major issues that received a lot of attention but failed to pass?
Yeah, I'd say the issue that received the most attention but didn't end up going anywhere was transgender athletes. You know, this, of course, has been a huge issue here in Maine since February. That's when one of the Republican lawmakers, Representative Laurel Libby of Auburn, she drew national attention, including from President Trump, to the state's policy that allows transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports. Republicans actually sponsored 8 bills, I believe, to change that policy or to change the Maine Human Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on someone's gender identity. But just one of those bills squeaked out of the very closely divided House, and then it failed in the Senate, where Democrats have a wider majority. So it basically died between the chambers. And then once again, there was a lot of debate about guns, but not much came out of it, which I guess that's not terribly surprising because Democrats did pass several major gun control bills last year in response to the Lewiston mass shooting. You know, we saw some political theatrics, I'd say, around a red flag gun law. But that was pretty much always going to be decided by voters this November. And then the only significant gun bill that did pass, and this passed strictly along partisan lines, would prohibit these ghost guns, which are these untraceable, often homemade guns without serial numbers. But it would cost $1 million a year to implement because of the additional police and state police detectives that are going to be required. So right now, that's one of the hundreds of bills that's sitting on that appropriations table waiting for funding.
You know, meanwhile, there wasn't a lot of movement on some big issues like property tax relief. I know a lot of lawmakers came into the session talking about this, saying it was something that their constituents were talking about and asking for. And there were a lot of bills that would have provided some relief to property taxpayers, but there just wasn't enough money in the budget to beef up subsidy programs. I think a study commission about property taxes passed, but that's not going to deliver any relief, at least in the near term. And also, while lawmakers did plug a hole in the state's Medicaid program, MaineCare, there weren't a lot of changes to help with the sustainability of a program that thousands of Mainers rely on for health coverage. And there might have to be some tough choices down the road in that program, especially if the GOP-controlled Congress passes some of the changes that they're currently considering, which could possibly kick off a lot of people on Maine care right now, or make the states fund more of the program than they currently are.
Steve, it seemed like the partisan tensions were also fairly high this session. How would you describe the overall tone at the State House this year?
Well, Ari, I've been covering the State House since 2011, and I've, you know, over the years, I've noticed a steady decline in just how lawmakers in both parties interact with each other, what they say during debates, the tactics they employ to get what they want. And I think it's safe to say that things aren't great. It's not quite DC level bad, but it's pretty bad. And I think part of that is because there's been a steady creep of national issues into the legislative agenda. You know, the transgender athletes issue is a prime example. And so is, you know, the immigration enforcement bills that took up a lot of bandwidth at the end of the session here. If you listen to legislative debates on those issues and compare them to what you hear in Congress, there would be very little daylight in rhetoric between the two. You know, we could spend an entire segment talking about why that's happening, but I think part of it is related to how certain media ecosystems, especially social media, rewards politicians for centering these issues and talking about them in a way that gets attention, even if it's negative attention. It's also a pathway for politicians who aspire to higher office. So if you're a state legislator who wants to be governor or a member of Congress, there's a greater incentive to talk about, say, transgender athletes in girls' sports than there is to highlight a bill that directly benefits the 9,000 residents in your house district, for example.
Yeah, now this is Kevin. I'll just add a few thoughts here. I mean, there's still a lot of bipartisan work that happens in the legislature. You know, there's 2,000 bills that are introduced. You know, a lot of them don't pass. A lot of them that do pass are passed unanimously. But in these really core partisan issues, that's where we're seeing this breakdown that Steve's talking about. And, you know, for nearly 4 months of the session, there's been this tension surrounding Representative Laurel Libby, who, again, is the person who catapulted Maine into the national spotlight on transgender issues back in February. That's when she posted on Facebook about a trans athlete who won a high school championship. And I think this incident is pretty emblematic of how almost toxic, I'd say, things have become in Augusta at times. Democrats censured Representative Libby because they say she endangered the welfare of this minor. That meant she couldn't vote or debate on the House floor until she apologized, and she's absolutely refused to do that. Libby sued, and she had her voting rights restored by none other than the U.S. Supreme Court. But she still can't participate in debates. And that's kind of how the House session ended late Wednesday. Libby tried to stand up and speak, a whole bunch of Democrats objected, and rather than vote on whether to even allow Libby to talk on the record, roughly two-thirds of the House, including a whole bunch of Republicans, voted to shut down the session.
Kevin, at the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned that lawmakers will have to come back to deal with any vetoes from Governor Mills. Has the governor vetoed anything yet, or are you expecting her to?
Yes, yeah, so we're talking on Friday, and as of right now, the governor hasn't vetoed any bills yet. But I suspect that some vetoes are coming. One bill that a lot of us are watching closely, and one that you covered, Ari, is on immigration. The bill would limit how much police here in Maine can cooperate or collaborate with federal law enforcement on immigration issues. This is, you know, obviously an incredibly tense and polarizing issue right now nationally, as ICE and Border Patrol agents detain thousands of non-citizens and potentially try to deport them. The issue sparked, I'd say, some of the most raw and emotional debates of the session. Maine's law enforcement community was not on board with this, and it's not clear what Governor Mills will do on the bill, especially given the fact that she's a former attorney general and a prosecutor who, I'd say, generally speaking, has tended to stand with public safety folks on issues of law and order.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent Steve Missler and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. You can also read the Political Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.